Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West, or excuse me, 10 a.m. on the West Coast. That was our old time. 10 a.m. on the West Coast and 1 p.m. I don't know.
Oh, you're really good tonight, aren't you?
Sorry. 10 p.m. on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And again, a welcome and a hearty handshake and a thank you to our newest affiliate in Salt Lake City, KLO AM and FM. Very excited to have you guys on board with us. Very excited to be back in Salt Lake City, a great market. And you were asking me, Margaret, and CJ was asking me about Salt Lake City and the idea that Salt Lake City is somehow a real dead spot.
Well, I don't quite understand. I played a couple of dates in Salt Lake City. Did I tell you about that?
No.
I played, what's with Robert and Bud? You're not reacting.
I don't know. What was I supposed to say?
I said I played a couple of days. It's my... Would you please direct...
Act excited, will you?
Well, don't do it on the air.
Then don't bring it up on the air, Margaret.
After we're off the air, direct them.
You should be...
After.
The audience doesn't know what we're talking about now. They heard you open your mouth and say something about how they're supposed to be excited.
Oh, boy. You don't mind. You really want to see me... You want to see me treated as if I'm one of those white slave models in a porn film, don't you? You want to see me with five men standing around...
No, I don't. God.
What's so funny about that?
Well, then don't bring it up. If you don't want to be humiliated, don't bring it up. You were playing two dates in Salt Lake City, and Robert and Bud didn't react in the way that they should.
They should at least say, wow, you know...
Wow, Margaret, that's great.
Boy, that was fake.
Great, I don't know what you want me to say, but I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, right.
Well, they did the best they could. Guys, make sure you're more excited when she brings up her singing career.
I just got done telling... Phil, you cannot... You love to see women degraded. I know that. Excuse me. You deserve that.
I deserved what? Because you said to do so. You belch on the air. I've asked you not to do that a million times.
You deserve that because you brought up what I said. Not. I talked to you. God, I'm so angry.
So you had a couple of singing dates in Salt Lake City.
Yes, and you know something? The only reason why I want to keep talking about this is because the songs that I sang in Salt Lake City, one of them was from my very favorite mentor and my co-star, Richard Burton, yeah. How's that feel?
Oh, Richard Burton's fantastic. Where'd you co-star with him?
In Camelot. I was never on stage with him. I was understudying, but I remember him looking off stage at me and nodding and saying the big thumbs up. He couldn't wait to get rid of Julie Andrews. He couldn't wait to see her lay an egg out there so that I'd have my shot. It never happened. She did a good job, but I remember him glancing off stage at me and saying, whew. You know.
What does that mean?
Well, Julie Andrews would be singing, and he'd look over at me like, oh, you know, it's almost too much for him to take. And he kept giving me the thumbs up, and he kept doing the cracking thing with the hands.
As in what? As a
scrambled egg?
Well, yeah, like he's cracking an egg, like someone just laid the egg. You know, Phil?
Yeah, okay.
Well, don't be, you're so impatient. But the song I remember... How to handle a woman, mark me well. Richard Burton sang that to me. Me.
Oh, yeah, sure. How can you be sure?
How can I be? Because I saw him looking at me. Does that help?
Well, wait a minute. Was he looking off stage when he sang that song?
The song is sung solo. He's laying on, I think, this is a terrible thing. King Arthur is having problems with Guinevere.
Right.
And he is singing about his love, and I think he just finished masturbating. Now, wait, don't interrupt.
What do you mean he just finished masturbating?
Well, let's just announce it to the world, Phil.
Well, you're the one talking about, that happens to be one of the great time-honored and cherished Broadway productions. Not that I'm a big fan of it, my parents were, but for you to say that Richard Burton as King Arthur...
It was King Arthur's character.
What?
David, hey, what's going on over there? Because I'm hearing masturbation, King Arthur, and how to handle a woman. And none of those three things go together. Now, I'm pulled up in front of a Krispy Kreme. Do I get out and help her pick out what she wants?
Well, now, wait a minute. She's at a Krispy Kreme, so it's the same donut.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're all glazed.
No, they've got chocolate covered.
Well, either I get out and help her, or I put this fire out. Now, what's it going to be?
I get out and help her.
God.
All right, so, well, that's great, Margaret. So did you sing that in Salt Lake City?
No, I did not sing it in Salt Lake City for the very reason that I've given you. That Richard Burton looked at me. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And I knew then. And when I was due to go on stage in Salt Lake City.
Want me to play the music or something?
No, don't play any music.
I thought of him.
You thought of Richard Burton being in love with you?
Yes. How to handle... King Arthur has just finished, well, masturbating, and...
No, I'm not going to allow you to say that, because you don't know.
I don't know for sure. Hold on. I'm sorry, Phil. The emotion has brought it out of me.
If you belch one more time on the air, Margaret, that's it. You're fired.
Oh, you're threatening me, huh?
That's not a threat. You're fired. I'm sick and tired of listening to that, and I don't want to hear it anymore, all right? No more belching on the air. All right, folks, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, the IPOs we saw... What is this? For Margaret.
Baby's got blue eyes. Oh, thank you very much, bud. This keeps the gas down.
Like a deep, blue sea.
Woo! I love to make a song my own, you know, Phil?
That's great, but I would have appreciated you, bud, saying something to me before you started playing the song.
Blue eyes. Yee-hee. Isn't this wonderful? Richard Burton.
Hey, it's Elton John.
Oh, it's Elton John, and Baby's Got a Blue Eye.
Yeah.
I think this song, more than anything else, tells us how our culture has evolved, how we celebrate the disabled. And
how is this celebrating the disabled? Can someone tell me?
Baby got a blue eye.
Yeah, Baby's got a blue eye.
I just heard him say blue eyes.
No, he did not. He said a blue eye is crying and... I don't know what's wrong with you, Phil, but I think you need an EEG.
Baby's got
listen.
Blue eye.
Baby's got blue eye.
It's like a disease.
Like pink eye. Like pink eye, huh?
You know, I think you're very sarcastic.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Margaret, for that. That was...
May I hear the music, please?
Yeah, when we go to the commercial break, Baby's got a blue eye.
What about pink eye?
What do you mean, pink eye?
Well, if it said Baby's got pink eye, maybe you'd understand what it is he's trying to say. But because your mind can't get around the fact that Baby got blue eye...
Yeah, Baby got blue eye.
Baby now got blue eye. You know, you talk like a baby. And you are, you make these lies your own, Margaret. You're so convincing. It's marvelous.
What lie am I talking about?
Richard Burton was singing to you. And he was giving you the rolled eyes. And he was hoping that Julie Andrews would lay an egg. And on and on and on it goes.
Right. And even though you have their evidence for your own ears, Baby got blue eye, you think that somehow I'm the turd. You think I'm the turd to be flushed, and not you.
All right, folks.
And look at you getting the sympathy of the audience. This is what I'm saying.
You know, I'm going to get tired of arguing with you after a while, and I am going to... I'm not only going to fire you, I'm going to burn this whole studio down.
Yeah, you're going to do a Captain William Bly. I'll run myself through, and then I'll kill you later.
Yeah. I'll run myself through and then kill you later. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't. How's he going to run himself through and kill the guy later?
Oh.
We're going to be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of this marvelous stuff. More on the Twitter IPO. We're supposed to get to the Twitter IPO last night, and we did not, which pisses me off. We were supposed to talk about the ins and the outs, if you'll pardon the expression, of... just get that out of here.
Baby got a blue eye.
Of the IPO offered by Twitter. We will, when we come back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be talking finances, high finance, money, with Ted Bell. And also Steve Bozell as they tell us about their weekend NFL coverage. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here. And we mentioned philhenryshow.com. That is the online home of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'd like you to join us over there. get a backstage pass, and you can watch the show as we do it. Here we have a video cast, and people are asking, what is this on? We're in our urban studio tonight, our urban virtual studio with the screen behind me. That's a piece of B footage of...
Well, you said that's the city of Los Angeles being shot from a car in the 40s.
Yes, it's nice color footage of the city of L.A. I like any camera that is mounted in a car and just kind of catches the landscape as it rolls by. You know, I like that. And so I wish there was more of that in color.
But you get the camera, go out and do it yourself.
Yeah. Because I don't want to go out and do it myself. I like to see the what it looked like back in the day. So you're looking from a car in the 40s. What are you seeing?
Well, you're seeing a lot of stuff that I'm glad we don't have anymore. Which is...
Like what?
Oh, I don't know, Phil. Everything looks like the restrooms are filthy. Every single building you see in a 1940s movie, I think I would, you talk about running yourself through, I'd run myself through with a 17th or 18th century saber rather than sit on a 1940s toilet seat in a gas station. I'm Margaret Gray. Thank you.
Oh, knock it off. What a statement.
You think I'm kidding?
All right, well, Margaret, you were going to sing.
Yes, and I'd like to say something before the three of you start laughing and lying through your teeth. This is indeed a song that I wrote. I wrote the lyrics to this song, and I donated it to Elvis Presley. I said, don't worry, don't give me credit. But since then, I've had a change of heart because the song became very big, and everyone starts talking like they're big shots.
And you want to be a big shot, too.
No, I want people to know that I'm the real deal. That's all. I wrote this for Elvis.
As the snow flies.
I don't have the lyric sheet.
Here.
And another little baby, do-do-do. A little tiny baby is spit out into the world in the ghetto. I can't. What are the lyrics?
Here.
I thought you wrote it.
I did.
And his mother cries.
Because she doesn't need another screaming brat, and so she takes the kid and throws it out in the ghetto.
Get out of here, will you?
Well, will someone get me the lyrics then?
Well, hold on for a minute. Another screaming brat, huh?
You know something? You have arrogance unbridled. I wrote the song.
You're knocking over my coffee.
Okay, Mumbles.
Yeah, you always hear you sound like Mumbles on the Dean Tracy show.
Shut up.
Mumbles, can I hear my music?
I don't like being called Mumbles, if you don't mind.
Okay, Mumbles.
You all right, Mumbles?
The world turns.
Well, what is that?
Well, you wanted me to turn it up.
And a hungry little boy with a running nose. Please.
I don't remember a hungry little boy with a round-off nose.
Plays in the street as a cold wind blows.
In the ghetto. They changed the lyrics. I sent to Elvis the lyric, and I said, Elvis?
And his hunger burns.
And his hunger what?
What are you, did you write this or didn't you?
Yes, I did. And I wrote the letter to Elvis and I said, Elvis, I've been listening to you doing the song. You're changing the lyrics. Stop doing it. Stop. Elvis, this is Margaret. Stop. Please write me, care of Sheraton Hotel, New York. Stop. You're butchering my song beyond recognition. Stop.
Did he write back?
He did. He sent back the telegram. Margaret, stop. This is Elvis Presley. Stop. I'll do what I want, when I want, and how I want. Stop. You know how I treat women. Stop. I wrote him back. I said, yes, I do. Stop. I'm looking forward to it. Stop. He wrote back that he...
Well, you get out of here with the...
Well, I don't know. Frank has it. Call Frank. He's got it.
Call up Mr. Gray. He's got the telegram. And then we'll settle this once and for all.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Great, yeah. We'll hear from Frank with the gonorrhea brain.
How dare you bring that up?
I'm not going to stop bringing it up until he gets it fixed. All right, folks, thank you for joining us. The Phil Henry Show. Sorry about the sidetracking.
Sidetracking? I'm singing this song. You know, I really find that to be the... Here it is here.
So it starts to
run the streets at night. Would you get me the lyrics? Because I don't know the lyrics of this song. Elvis carved this thing a new ass.
Oh, man, your language.
Look at the pot calling the kettle black. My language. Get me the lyrics, bud.
Will you get her the lyrics, please?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you can, get Elvis while he's dead.
Yeah.
Look at you laughing about that.
Well, what, did you want to get Elvis on the phone?
Yeah, get Elvis Presley on the phone. Make sure he doesn't butcher up the song.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, he's been dead for 30 years.
I know that. Were he alive, I'd get him on the phone and I'd carve him a new one.
Because he butchered up your song.
I don't know. Elvis Presley was in his day one of the greats, but the pills and the drugs and finally the impacted colon, I...
Oh, God.
Phil, it's life. Live in it, son. Live in it.
All right. So Twitter. Let's talk a little bit about Twitter and what they've got in mind. It's an interesting world we're living in, folks. There's no question about it. As we look at these IPOs, Facebook's IPO, just to bring you up to speed, as you recall, Facebook wanted $36 a share. I don't think I've had that exact, but they didn't get $36 a share. In fact, they didn't get $35 a share. In fact, they didn't even get $30 a share. And the reason for that, as we have often stated, was the quite frankly, the bad information, the bad planning on the part of Mr. Zuckerberg. Brilliant man. I'm not taking anything away from Mark Zuckerberg, but there was one little area in terms of what Facebook could do that he overlooked, and it was a very, very fundamental area at that time. They've made a comeback, though. Now we have Twitter and their executives leading the long-expected initial public offering. They've got a mission. Don't repeat the mistakes that muddied Facebook. While the two social networks offer services that increasingly overlap, Twitter executives have put distance between themselves and their rival in the lead-up to an IPO. Among its efforts, Twitter has acted conservatively in building a business case for advertising on its short message service, kept remarkably quiet about its IPO.
It's PPO.
No, it's IPO process.
Let me see that.
Don't pull that away from me. Give me that.
Phil, you're butchering it up. Give me... Let me look at this. Hold on. Kevin, my IPO process, not a different thing. Bank for the arms, album, oh, it's garbage. Go ahead, you read it.
Thank you very much for vetting that.
Yeah.
Garbage, huh?
That's right. I'm going to get up. I'm not going to the bathroom. Where are the Dutch Masters?
I got a box, Ms. Gray, over there in a cigar box.
Thank you.
You know, when you go to smoke a cigar, go to the bathroom, or anything else you need to do, Margaret, you don't have to make a big announcement.
People want to know where I am because I'm a big pull on the show.
Yeah, I got your big pull.
How dare you?
All right.
Ms. Gray, a lot of guys like you. To them, you're the big pull. As in, hoo-hoo, woo-hoo, ow!
You got a mind like a... I tell you what, bud, if the stink coming out of your brain was any worse, I'd swear to God there was a dead body. Real funny, huh?
If the stink coming out of your brain, bud, was any worse, there's a dead body in your skull? Is that how that works?
I'm not going to play your little game.
You mean my little game called Please Explain What You Just Said? All right. The goal, according to a person familiar with the board and senior executives, is to make Twitter's IPO a contrast to Facebook's, meaning they know what they're doing, Facebook didn't. Meaning they're not going to go out there like they're hosting somebody's birthday party with dancers and singers and Zuckerberg, you know, in a G-string or whatever the hell they did. Twitter's going to go out there like business people, very conservative with suits, buttoned down, just bombed out of their skulls on methamphetamine. I'm kidding. Anyway, after which its stock fell following the May 2012 IPO. The moves could help Twitter be taken seriously both by investors and by marketers. This is very interesting. Twitter is talking about a conservative rollout of their IPO. They're talking about not being so bold. They're talking about keeping closed-mouthed about what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. And that is all fine, and that is all great, but that's not what sunk Facebook, folks. It's not because they were out dancing and singing and putting people off. That's not going to bother me. If I want to buy Facebook stock, I'll buy Facebook stock if I think it's worth it. I don't give a damn if Zuckerberg's out there with dancing girls or dancing bears or just the single one, the famous dancing bear, or with Captain Kangaroo as dancing bear. Doesn't matter to me. What I didn't like about it, what nobody liked about it, was the fact that the fundamentals, as in how do you advertise on mobile, were not there. And so Facebook's price dropped through, you know, for the most part, the floor. Had nothing to do with Twitter. And one will hope, has decided that they have vetted properly what it is they're going to be telling potential investors, that they have looked into all the possible problems, and that those problems will be or have been dealt with, so that there's not going to be any big surprise like Facebook had. So that's what Twitter needs to do, and I'm sure they are doing that. But none of this has to do with the presentation. Although, yeah, Facebook likes to do things flashy. Maybe Twitter doesn't. I don't know.
Well, Twitter gonna verify you, man.
Twitter is never gonna verify me. They'll never verify. They got people there with 3,000 followers that they verified. They got a cat in Australia that I just started following because he is verified, and so I think he's a big star.
What's his name?
Stevie Poon. So I don't know what his name is. And he's verified. But this is America, baby. This is America. You know. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. What was wrong there, bud?
I was getting a lyric on In a Ghetto.
Well, that doesn't take four arms, does it?
Nope.
All right, so we got the lyrics to In the Ghetto. Am I going to be allowed to do my whole thing here on, Twitter?
Phil, you can do your little... Everyone knows that Twitter is elitist. Twitter is an elitist social media platform. The people over there are all celebrities and so on and so forth, and there you are getting all worried about being verified. Facebook is the social media of the people.
Margaret.
Hold on, I'm not done yet. And I think I speak for everyone listening. Facebook is the social media of the people. You know how to spell that, right? P-E-O-P-L-E. That means all of them out there that are listening to us right now.
I understand that.
Good. Now, when you spend your time on Twitter jawjacking with whoever you think is a celebrity over there, you disgrace yourself, you disgrace your radio show, you disgrace your listeners and fans, you disgrace yourself. I already mentioned yourself, right?
Yes.
Oh, well, excuse me for boring you, Phil.
Well, what's the point? I mean, I'm trying to figure out this social media thing just as much as anybody else, you know? I'm trying to do what I got to do, you know?
You got to do what you got to do. Well, don't you just sound like Jack Nicholson and Hoffa?
Well, I'm telling you that I am trying the best way I know how to figure out the social media reality. I was half kidding when I said to, when I talked about getting verified, whatever, you know, who knows how you're supposed to do that? But as far as I'm concerned, there are a great many people who are, now what is this?
It's great.
I'm going to finish singing
as the snow fly.
Wait a minute.
On a cold and gray.
Wait a minute, bud. God.
I know what you're doing.
When I tell you to go, you go. I say stop, you stop. When I tell you to move, you move. You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
One, two, one. I didn't say anything yet.
Is this a game or something?
Hold on, Phil. I'll get Frank on the phone.
Yeah. What? And what? You'll run yourself through and then run me through later?
What? I didn't say that. He did. Ready? One, two, and a one, two, three.
Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born.
Turn that off, bud. What? Where were you born? In the ward for children with brains outside of the skull? Is that the one? Was that Ward 6? Where were you born?
I was born in L.A.
I didn't ask you the city.
All right, I'm not going to have any more of this, all right? Are you going to sing this song or not?
Yeah, I'd like to sing the song if you can start it at the beginning.
Well, I did start at the beginning.
No, you didn't. I just heard... I can't even describe it.
It was obviously upcut, bud, so you didn't do it right.
Oh, it was upcut. Wow.
Yeah, it was upcut.
I got something for you to...
Get something for you to upcut.
I got something for you to upcut.
I'm going to belt both of you. A woman, yes. I will sock you right in the chin, Margaret, and I'll take my chances with Frank, okay?
Boy, look at you.
That's right.
How about that? I'll deal with you later. One, two, one, two, three, four. Oh, too fast for you, huh? As the snow flies, two, three, four, and on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a little baby child is born in the ghetto. Whoa, 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 whoa. See, that's my touch.
Right.
And his mama cries, two, three, and two, three. Because if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another screaming brat. See, that's the line that I put in there.
All right, never mind about the screaming brat. Can I move back to this now?
Fine.
If you put in screaming brat and Elvis changed it, I don't blame him for changing it.
Why would... What about the integrity of the artist?
the integrity of the artist, and then there's the commercial consideration. Elvis is not going to sing the song and another screaming brat gets born. Okay, he's not going to do it. He's changing it. You ought to be thankful that he sang your song in the first place.
Elvis Presley, I'm thankful to him. Elvis Presley should have gotten down on his hands and knees and licked my...
Yeah, I'm sure he'd probably get a disease, too.
Here's a disease for you.
Hey, watch it now. You reach across me to try to belt him one more time.
And keep him under control. I don't care what you do. Put a leather strap on him.
Margaret, you know, you're really, really, really out of control the last few days.
I've noticed that too, Miss Amber. You're right.
What do you say?
I'm saying you're really out of control. You're getting very, very proprietary. You're taking over the show. You're butting in. There's not one thing I say that you don't have some smart-ass crack about. So I'm just telling you to back it down, okay?
And what if I get Frank on here?
Fine. I think Frank will back me up. In fact, I know he'll back me up.
Let me call him up.
We'll get, yeah, go ahead. Call Frank. I don't want him now. Have him hold over.
Well, no, I want to talk.
No, it's not about what you want. It's about what I want. It's about what I, Phil Henry, what I want.
What an ego case.
That's right. That's exactly right. I am an ego case. I've been waiting 10 minutes to get into this Twitter thing, and that's what I'm going to get into. Another screaming brat.
What about the artistic integrity?
It isn't clear yet how Twitter will price its stock at its debut. The current thinking on Twitter's leadership, people familiar with its thinking, is to be more conservative than Facebook. Now, Facebook wanted to open at 36, and Facebook told everybody and their mother they wanted to open at 36, and the word on the street was that they wanted to open at 36, and that's what they tried to open at, 36, and they didn't get 36 any more that I could make the 36-inch waist on a pair of jeans, if not for about 8 months' worth of dieting. Thank you very much.
Way to save it.
Thanks. They want to avoid overpricing its shares or offering too many, as it looks to models from tech companies like LinkedIn and Workday, both of whom saw their stock soar after they debuts, according to a person familiar with the board's thinking. So LinkedIn and Workday both went up. Today, LinkedIn was down by 0.04. Workday was down by, was up 0.55. You know, LinkedIn is a very interesting thing. I don't know what the story is with LinkedIn. I don't know. Are they good or are they useful? Some people sing their praises. Some people think it is a phenomenal resource. And I've talked to other people who say that LinkedIn is just a whole bunch of unemployed people talking to each other. What do you think?
Well, I think that LinkedIn, I don't even know what LinkedIn is. Oh, that was LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, that's what it's spelled.
LinkedIn?
Because of the movie.
What about the movie? No, it's LinkedIn.
How do you spell link?
L-I-N-K.
Oh.
I spell Lincoln with a C.
Well, I didn't know what it was, and I got these LinkedIn. Do you get the messages?
I get messages all the time at Facebook from people that I'm, that are friends of mine on Facebook, LinkedIn. And I'm not interested. Now, I was having lunch with Maria the other day, and she said she's on LinkedIn and she loves it. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what to think about it. But apparently, they did a really cool job. They want to avoid overpriced. On Wednesday, before Twitter's disclosure, Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg joked at a conference that he would be the last person to advise Twitter executives on how to make a smooth IPO. Very true. Before Facebook's IPO, executives increased the size of its offering and the price despite some internal concerns about the strength of its ad business. While the offering was also haunted by technical challenges on the NASDAQ board, some critics blamed the stock's challenges on greed among Facebook's management. Twitter chose Goldman Sachs as the lead underwriter for its offering over the Morgan Stanley team that advised Facebook, according to people familiar with the decisions. Twitter is in the process of discussing with which additional banks will be involved in the process. So Twitter basically has learned from Facefoot, okay?
Well, if Twitter has learned from Facebutt, then you're not laughing?
No, I already said Facefoot. What?
You think Facebutt's funny? Facebutt ain't funny.
I came up with Facebutt.
All right, you came up with Facebutt. It ain't that funny anymore. It was funny, now it's not.
And Facefoot is.
I think so. I think Facefoot's way funnier. All right, Frank Gray is with us. He's down at the Culver Arena in Culver City. He's watching some of the practice of the L.A. Kings hockey team down there as they are going through some of their very, very early scrimmages. Frank, welcome to the show. It's always good to talk to you, man. Were you over at Ted's?
Hey, good evening, young man. Yeah, I was over her place briefly.
Frank, honey, it's Margaret. Question. When I wrote In the Ghetto, okay, Frank?
Holy.
Well, don't start. When I wrote In the Ghetto and I sent it to Elvis, didn't he like it, honey, huh? Didn't he?
Yes, she liked it, okay. I remember getting the telegram, Phil, from Elvis's people, and they all said that she liked the song, but she was going to change some lyrics because she was concerned, being a Southern man, singing a song about basically Northern African-American people, that a Northern African-American woman, he's not necessarily going to throw a little infant female baby out into the snow. Can you imagine him throwing his daughter out into the snow and watching him die? So Elvis, she decided that if she's going to sing about him, that little female child being thrown in the snow, that her career wouldn't be worth a pinch of you-know-what on a sunny day in Decatur, Georgia.
No, I don't know what. I'm sorry. I'm very intrigued by that.
Don't ask him, okay?
Wait, you're not...
A pinch of you-know-what?
On a sunny day in Decatur, Georgia. You don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. A pinch of he wouldn't be worth...
I'm saying that if Elvis Presley actually sang the lyric that Margaret wrote about this Northern African-American mother taking this baby daughter and throwing him into the snow because he's screaming too much, the African-American mother would be put in prison, but Elvis, she wouldn't have a career left any more than Pinky Lee had a career left after people really got a good long look at her act. You see what I mean? What's so funny? You know, I got better things to do than to sit here and yank.
I'm sorry, Frank. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, I'm down here watching the Kings. I want to see how these little girls do. I'm getting so...
Well, Frank, you got the season tickets this year, darling. They're not cheap.
I know they're not cheap, and that's why I demand. I'm not asking. I'm demanding that the L.A. Kings start playing hockey like, well, I better not say.
Like what? Yeah, I know what you're going to say. I always say the same thing.
I'm not a racist, Robert. She thinks I'm a racist.
Well, what are you going to say?
It's an old school term.
What were you going to say?
Oh, God, Frank, you're not going to say that.
Well, you know, she's demanding that I say it, isn't she?
I'm asking you.
I know what you're going to say, Mr. Gray. I know you don't mean it, but still, it's offensive.
I was going to say the L.A. Kings better start playing hockey like the white men that they are.
Oh, my God.
Well, you forced it out of me.
Frank, why don't you get a clue and clean your act up?
There's not one thing racist about me. Now, she asked me, and even she, Robert is black, and she didn't mind.
Well, I don't mind, because I know you don't mean it, but still.
What is that supposed to mean?
What do you mean? What's supposed to mean?
Start playing hockey like the white men they are.
I don't know. It's something that we used to say as kids. And I'm sorry that I ever brought it up. But look, the Kings have my support. I support them 100%. I've got season tickets to see that garbage. I have suffered more than anyone watching the Los Angeles Kings play what they call hockey.
Well, they won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago.
Big deal. By now, I would have expected about 6 or 7 of those cups. But instead, we got one, and that...
All right, I got to take a break, Frank. Thank you very much for filling us in on In the Ghetto.
All right, but remember, is this Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, when you were talking to Margaret, understand that he's full of crap.
All right, that's your husband, by the way.
I'll deal with him when I get home.
All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk here about the Twitter IPO, as we talk here about, well, all kinds of things tonight here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, including... In the Ghetto by Elvis Presley, and just exactly what could that possibly represent in the overall, man? Margaret's offering of In the Ghetto, and the fact that the lyric and other screaming brat and all that. I don't know. Thank God it's Friday. Thank you. Oh, thank God it's Friday. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
I'll deal with you when I get home.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. It is a digital world as well as a, you know, as well as an analog world. What do we mean by that? I mean, it's terrestrial radio, satellite radio. We're online, and it's all good, you know. You can hear podcasts of this show each and every day with a backstage pass. You can go to philhendryshow.com and listen to our show. You can also see it. You can watch a video cast of the show. We have that in our archive as well. We have close to 5,000 hours of archived audio, full radio shows, not bits, not 1 hour here and 15 minutes there, entire radio shows that you can listen to. We are finishing, finally, thank you, Bud, the show logs.
Yeah, we finally got our act together on that.
Well, those show logs, that was becoming an embarrassment. People want to know what's on those hours.
Well, we're getting those show logs finished, and along with so many other things, it's a very, very exciting period to be with us. So we certainly do encourage you to join us at philhendryshow.com. There's this Syrian crap. Do you want to talk about this?
I don't.
Well, I mean, we got to mention it. The Syria stuff is so, like, over. It's not that complicated, but they every day they try to make it more and more complicated. Talks that could avert a U.S.-led strike in Syria were centered Friday some 1,800 miles away in Geneva, leaving some optimistic about not just the removal of chemical weapons from the war-torn nation, but the prospect of long-term peace. So what my question is this. If Obama's getting his ass run around the maypole on this thing, how is it that Syria's thinking about getting rid of their chemical weapons? Oh, wait a minute. They don't have any chemical weapons. Oh, wait a minute. They went down there and asked them to get rid of their chemical weapons. I've never in my life seen a guy run a game like Putin, man. That guy's beautiful.
What are you talking about, Phil? Putin is a formidable person.
He's about as formidable as Bud. That guy has got a... Here's what Putin has. A photograph of him with no shirt on fly fishing. The fact that he looks like a typical Russian hard-ass. And that's it. He ain't got diddly squat. He hasn't got... He's got nothing. He's got nothing. He hasn't got a military. He hasn't got any of the juice that America has in terms of the diplomatic circles and pull. He hasn't got the economic pull. Maybe if he puts himself together with China, they can muscle people occasionally. I mean, if they really want to. He's got a big, fat mouth. And the American people, being as insular as they are, and being the you know, excuse me, folks, but, you know, when it comes to international affairs and news from abroad, Americans are about as dumb as it gets, and they're buying into this. Oh, yeah, Putin, that's...
What about the time, you know, you don't understand, Phil, when the Russians and the missile crisis, everyone remembers.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry. Everyone remembers the missile of October.
You're doing sloppy jaw. Nobody want to hear it.
Shut up. We almost incinerated the entire world, Phil, with our nuclear arsenal. Did you think we shouldn't take the Russians seriously then?
Excuse me, but there was a little difference. That was the USSR. And they were up to their ass in nuclear weapons, and that was it. Those guys, if you scratch them deep enough, that was a toilet bowl over there, too. You scratch the USSR deep enough behind the missiles and all those guys with the funny-looking hats and those May Day parades, whatever the hell those were.
What the hell are they called May Day for? Yeah, it sounds fairly effeminate, you know?
It sounds effeminate?
Well, May Day...
It's about the... May Day is the Labor Day. It's the traditional Labor Day in the Russian... I'm not going to get into it. All right. Yeah, so those guys were badass, and they were involved in an ideologic battle with the West. The Putins of the world and the Russians of the world, they're not involved in ideologic jack squat. They want to be us. That's what they want to be. They want to be us so bad that they don't want it to look like they're being us. So they got to kind of grab a hold of some of their old Stalinist stuff, and there's Putin acting like he's a dictator. He ain't the dictator of anything. They may be stronger than they were when they were a communist country, and maybe in 10 years they'll be making more aircraft than anybody else. That guy has got no... pull it all. And I'm sure if people want to think Obama's an idiot, you go right ahead and you do that, folks. You think he's a moron. But I got a little piece of news for you. Some of the people that work for him are not stupid. And the first thing they said to him was this. Mr. President, you know, Putin ain't got diddly squat. You know, he can talk all the tough talk he wants. One of the things we need to do is look like we're the good guys here. You could take Putin and you can push him off a cliff for all the you know, all that he's worth. But the fact is, you don't want the world think that America is the warmonger here. Well, what do you want me to do? Well, I think what we should do, sir, is, you know, let Putin float his little peace plan, and we'll go, oh, well, you know, I mean, that sounds pretty good.
You know what pisses me off? You sound like you know what you're talking about.
Why does that piss you off?
Because there are people out there like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and they talk politics every day, and they're really smart. You hardly ever talk about it, and you sound smarter, and it makes me angry. It makes me very... Tom Hartman, who's wonderful, I love him. And yet there you are, Phil. You scratch your rear end. You look at one page of a magazine. You come in, put it into perspective, and sound better talking about it, and it makes me angry.
Well, I'm so sorry.
All the other talk show...
Yeah, it's true, Mr. Andy. All the other talk show hosts, they all study it up and everything. And you come in here scratching your butt and looking like a dumbass. And
will you watch what you're saying about me, if you don't mind? I mean, it is only me.
No, but I mean, Mr. Andy, that's a compliment to you. You don't do anything. Scratch your butt, look like a dumbass, drink some Everclear, probably sucking down grappa and moonshine, come on in here, make more sense than anybody else. Man like that.
And I don't understand anything you're saying, and I don't drink moonshine, and I don't drink Everclear.
Well, but you look like you do.
Okay. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm your hillbilly here with a better perspective on international politics, even after a bottle of Everclear, than anybody doing legitimate talk radio could ever have.
Ow!
All right, we'll be back next hour with more of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And we got a hell of an hour ahead. Oh.
Are you really an alcoholic?
I didn't say that, did I?
Yes, you did.